You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1605. This time, I sit down with Stephanie Guillaume, owner of Stud Crud Busters, for a chat about gelding scars.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
And I would like to welcome to the show Stephanie Guillaume. Stephanie Guillaume, equine therapist on Facebook. And she is the sole proprietor at Stud Crud Busters. And regular listeners over at Horses in the Morning will know that Stephanie made a visit by our place recently to help our boys be fresh and clean. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Stephanie, the reason I reached out to you is I was going down some kind of a rabbit hole that had to do with SI and stifle lamenesses in horses. And that somehow led me off into a side path into something called a gelding scar, seeing as how we have three geldings at our farm here. And they all have their own little issues. I had needed to find out what the heck a gelding scar is. Is that a real thing, or is that just a lot of people spouting off nonsense?
No, I do believe it. I very much believe it's real, and I've seen it firsthand quite often in horses. So your body's made up of connective tissue, including the horse's body too. You have your muscles and you have your organs, and then you have the tissue that connects everything, and that's what your fascia is called. So what happens, your body has a slide and glide effect to all of your tissues. It allows your tissues to move. It allows your body to move in different directions without interfering with each other. So what happens, there's different stresses that can happen to the body. One of them is a mechanical stress from doing something repeatedly over and over. So after mechanical stress, you can have a traumatic stress, and that's, you know, falling and hitting, you know, landing on your knee, or you can have that you bumped into something, or like me the other day, I accidentally got a hoof from a horse into my leg. You know, you get a little bit of a kick, and then you can have a traumatic stress to that area. Or you have a scar. And what happens with scars, a lot of scars come from surgeries, where you go in and you do a change to the body with a surgical incision. So when you have any of those stresses to your body, your body wants to heal itself, and so it will send in collagen fibers to go back to that area to heal things over. Before you had any of those stresses, before you had a scar or the trauma to that area, you still have that slide and glide. But after the body has tried to heal it, the collagen fibers that it sends in, because it wants to protect it and strengthen it, those fibers won't be smooth necessarily anymore. They kind of send back in and they kind of get a little bit jumbled and they can get a little sticky. So what that causes is a little bit of a restriction in the movement to that area after the body has tried to heal itself. So one of the things that I like to think of, we're sitting here in chairs. And so if you were to just take your left arm and just kind of swing it around like you were swimming, and you feel that you have, you know, freedom of movement in all of the areas. But now if you took your hand right above on your shirt, right over by your shoulder, and if you just grabbed a whole bunch of your shirt into your hand and kind of made a fist with it, now if you try to swing your arm, you're going to feel restrictions. You're going to feel a restriction in your chest. You're going to feel it in your neck, in your back, and you're not going to be able to move your arm as freely as before. So kind of the way that you just jumbled up that fabric is kind of the same way that you can think of a scar or any of the traumatic damage and repair that your body has done to that area. So when you think about what happens to a horse when they get castrated, when the horse is still a stallion, they have all of that freedom and slide and glide to their tissues. But now a castration is a surgery. So with that surgery, they have to make an incision. There's two ways that they do it. They either lay the horse down or the horse is standing up. The benefits of laying the horse down is the veterinarian has full access. They have a lot of space and they can see what they're doing to the horse. So they'll go in, make an incision. They will pull out the testicles. They'll put an instrument on the spermatic cord and they can go really high up. They crush it and they cut the spermatic cord and then the cord should pull back up into the body. And that's why the vet likes to do that, because the horse is also fully anesthetized. The other way of castration is when the horse is standing up. It's easier on the horse in the sense that they don't have the trauma of laying down and having to stand back up after being anesthetized, because anytime you lay a horse down, it's hard and, you know, something can happen. But what can happen to the vet's perspective is they can't necessarily see and get to everything full access as if they could, as if the horse was laying down. So what they do, they just go in and they locally put anesthetic in that area. And it's harder for them to see what they're doing, but they go in there and they insert the needle to block around that area. Then the horse can relax his testicles all the way down. Then the vet can crush that spermatic cord a little bit higher up because gravity is taking the testicles down. But then the only issue is it's a little bit harder on the vet if they've done that procedure correctly. And it's harder for them to see. So what can happen, you can have some complications from a horse's castration. And they can get infected, they can get swollen, there can be bleeding, and then you run a high risk that area not healing correctly and smoothly and causing more scar tissue and more restrictions in the body.
Scar, as you said, you've come across this problem with horses in your works, because obviously you spend a lot more time in that part of the horse's anatomy than your typical horse owner does. Yeah. Have you found that the owner says, oh my gosh, really? Or have you found that the owner, when you've come across this, the owner says, I suspected there was something amiss?
That's very interesting. Most of the time people don't go back there and they don't know about it. What we found about the spermatic cord adhesion, the gelding scar issues, is that a spermatic cord actually goes up into the horse's body behind their kidneys and it attaches to the horse's lower back. So around the lumbar area of the horse. So when you go back there, you can physically feel it. Some horses heal very smooth. Some horses have a bit of a restriction and that can cause different issues. So some people will notice that the horse is having a problem because we're always looking for different lamenesses. We're looking to see if the horse can use his back, how he's moving. So a lot of the times we're looking at a horse to see if they're having issues in their back. You know, what could it be? Is it saddle areas? Is it something mechanical? Do they have lameness? Do they have joint issues? So not all the time are people considering that the castration scar could be one of the issues. So a very interesting story, when I was first realizing this, I got out of massage school and then I studied the myofascial work on horses, you know, the connective tissues in the horses. I was showing in Orlando and I was showing a dressage, and there was a girl that had a very beautiful horse that was stalled across from me. And when we got done with our classes, her and I were just chatting a little bit, and she was telling me that her horse was imported from Spain. And she bought the horse off of a video through a broker, but she never got to see the horse. She disclosed to me that under her impressions, this horse was at a high level. He was schooling the pre-St. George. He could do his flying changes and didn't have any problems with collection and engagement. But then her statement was, I feel like I got scammed because the horse that I have now cannot do any of those things. So what happens when you import a horse from Spain, almost usually the horse is still left a stallion and left intact. Then when the horse is purchased, they do a castration on the horse, and then the horse does the importing process over to the United States. So what happens, this horse was 6 years old when he finally got castrated. So he was a fully intact adult male most of his life, and then he has a surgery to remove his testicles, and now he got purchased by this girl. So she was feeling that he could not do his flying changes. She was feeling that he could not extend and collect. And her thoughts were that she was being lied to from the broker to the video, and this was not the horse that she had. And what was really interesting, I said to her, I'm like, have you ever checked his castration scar? And she said no, and had a very puzzling look to her face. And I asked if I could go and check it. And sure enough, I did. I very gently touched the horse, and you felt his tissue back there. It felt like a golf ball. It was just jumbled and tangled and very tucked up. And it was very thick and it was very hard. And so I kind of said to her, I kind of described to her what I was telling you about, you know, moving your shoulder and then moving your shoulder with your shirt all jumbled up. Here was this horse for 6 years of his life. He had all of the slide and glide. Then he gets a castration scar. He gets a surgery, a castration surgery. And now he's feeling different tissues. He's feeling restriction in that area where before it was smooth and it moved. Now he's feeling restriction. So maybe that horse is possibly feeling a tugging sensation or a restricted sensation, or maybe even pain, or maybe even nerve damage from that damage that those tissues sustained since his castration. So maybe that could be why he's having different footfalls and possibly having some limited mobility in his back, in his pelvis, and in his legs. So I thought that that was interesting. That was one of my first awakenings to what this could potentially be doing to horses.
So in your experience as someone who works with horses all the time, do you see a pattern? Do you see it more frequently in horses who were gelded later in life? Do you see it more in horses who are competitive versus maybe not competitive, or is it just so random?
I tend to ask when I feel those things. Most of the time, because horses usually have multiple owners, I'm not always talking to the person that has had that horse in the beginning of life. What I found by talking to people is I'll ask if they knew when the horse was castrated. And if the horse was castrated young, when the horse is under a year old, I mean, they're still growing. Their tissues are very elastic, and the horse can recover and heal quicker. When a horse is older with a castration, they're usually prone to infections, bleeding, and bigger scars because you took out a larger developed set of testicles than in a fully developed pelvis than you did when a horse was younger and still growing. So if I can ask that owner some questions, maybe they know, but usually they don't know the horse's prior history. They don't have a good concept of where the horse came from. And they don't know if the horse was standing or laying down during the castration. Usually they don't know at what age the horse was castrated. But when I'm cleaning a horse, I can usually tell if a horse has been castrated after they've reached the sexual maturity because their equipment changes, so I like to say. You know, when horses had actual testosterone, their equipment becomes sexually functioning to be able to breed another horse. That's what nature gives them. Usually if the horse is castrated before, they don't have that same development because the testosterone is what kind of develops them into being a little bit more of a rooster to not being a rooster yet. So usually I can tell based on that, and then I'll go back and check to see if the castration was there. Some of the times the horse is given time to heal correctly and it'll still feel flat and smooth. Other times I'll go back there and it'll feel like a golf ball of wadded tissue. Sometimes it'll feel to me like really stringy, like almost the strings of a guitar. And you almost just want to go back there and see if you can do any kind of manipulation back there, like a myofascial release to try to release some of that. But that's not necessarily something that I'm practicing at the moment, but I have a lot of thoughts to that. I do see that there's people out there, different body workers that are offering some work on some of those gelding scars. So it's becoming more of an awareness with horse people. And I hope that we can expand on these areas with education to be able to help some more of these horses to see if this is one of the issues that the horse is having.
Very interesting stuff. So for someone who is fascinated by this topic or is curious about other problems that horses could have because they haven't been appropriately cared for the for geldings and mares, and they wanted to reach out to you, what's a good way to find you?
I get a lot of business through Stud Club Busters on Facebook. I'm happy to talk to anybody there, and I get a lot of my messages. I have posted some of the information on this flyer, and if there is somebody that is interested in something like this, I do have a couple of resources in the state of Florida of different practitioners who would consider going out to work on a horse and be able to potentially help those horses, people that I've referred out before to see if we can help the horses. And there's also some techniques that an owner, if they're willing, can potentially do themselves to work on that area a little bit too. So there is some learning in that area for the owner, and then if they needed to hire somebody to come in and help them who's very experienced, I know some people that can help with that.
There we go. So just if you Google Stud Crud Busters, Stephanie has excellent SEO. You'll find her every time. And thank you very much for being on the show, Stephanie. Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.